Hello and welcome to volume 154 of Capital Ideas Live. In today's issue, we'll talk about a tax tip that can lower your taxes. You may not be aware of this one. We'll talk about a new mapping technology that could be a benefit to forest landowners. And we'll discuss two new organizations that you can benefit from. One is promoting healthy wildlife population, and the other is about prescribed fire. This program is brought to you through the generous contribution of Forester Search, a service that makes it easier to connect forest landowners with consulting foresters. You can access the site through foresterssearch.com, or there's a link on this page, and you'll be given a roster of consulting foresters who can guide you through the next steps that you'll face as a forest landowner. I'm Hayes Brown with the Alabama Forest Owners Association, and I'll be your host for today's discussion. John Stivers is a returning guest. He's president of a newly formed organization called Central Alabama Prescribed Burn Association, and we wanted to learn some more about this new endeavor. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Tell us about the mission of this new Prescribed Burn Association.
Well, it's pretty straightforward. It's basically the members of the association that are primarily landowners. They're pulling their resources to expand the safe use of prescribed fire across the 25 counties in central Alabama, and they run from the Mississippi to the Georgia line. So it's really the middle third of the state. So members pooling resources, and the two keywords, expand the safe use of fire. So we want to expand it, and we want to make sure people realize it is a safe practice if done professionally.
Okay. If you're a landowner in that area, how do you connect with the association and potentially get some sort of assistance to do your prescribed fire?
Right. Well, the paint's still kind of wet on our organization. We've been at it about a year, but there's a lot of track we've been laying. So right now, for a landowner to connect with us, first we just encourage them to visit the website, and it's pretty simple. It's alabamapva.org. And so go to the website. We've got a really nice website. And then another way, and you'll find this on the website, is we have two coordinators, one on the east side of the state and one on the west side of the state. So we kind of carved the baby in half, east to west. Lee Stuckey is on the east side, and Brigida Giles is on the west side. And their emails and contact info should be on the website. And then lastly, this is probably the most important role that we're still trying to get put together. We want to have two or three what we call ambassadors per county, and those would be the primary point of contact. So I'm just spitballing. Say you're in Greene County and you're wanting to find out more about the PBA and how you might plug into it. We're going to have a list of ambassadors for Greene County, and they reach out to them first. So, again, right now, the website, Lee Stuckey or Brigida, and then as we develop more ambassadors, you'll have various points of contact per county.
All right, so that website's going to give information on how to join, but just kind of sketch that out a little bit. Is there an annual fee or something like that?
Well, we're trying to keep it simple. Of course, you know, even though we're a 501(c), we got to have some operating funds. So the fee to be a member, it's $100, and that's good for 3 years. And so, yeah, on the website, there's a simple form that you would fill out and stroke a check for $100, send it to our treasurer and also board member John Pertle, and then you're good for 3 years. And so everybody who gets a burn done on their property has to be a member of the PBA. And so that information's on the website.
Okay. Sounds good, John.
And the other thing I want to make a shameless plug on is, you know, how can you join or become a sponsor is make sure you come and see us at the AFOA meeting in April, because we're going to be there.
Ah, okay. All right. Good. I appreciate that. Thanks, John. Appreciate you joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Another new association's been formed around the problem of chronic wasting disease in deer. Jeremy Mears is a wildlife biologist with Westervelt. He can give us some more information. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, great to be here. Appreciate y'all.
What is of concern to landowners, even those that don't hunt, about chronic wasting disease?
Great question. Kind of give a little bit of background for those that may not be familiar with chronic wasting disease, or CWD, but it is 100% fatal neurological disease that impacts members of the deer family. Very highly contagious, and can be transmitted animal to animal and through contact with infectious material. Currently, there's no treatments available for the disease, and thankfully, to date, there's been no known transfer of CWD to humans. But with the continued expansion of the footprint as this disease kind of enters new areas and kind of marches south and east into more traditional recreational markets and a larger working force footprint, the pressure that it puts on our state agencies when a positive case occurs, they need our help. And that's where landowner engagement is critical to help fight the disease. What we've seen in areas where it is prevalent, it has a negative impact on the economic, environmental, and cultural values that, you know, we all associate with deer and deer hunting. So it should be viewed as a threat. Certainly, not only for those of us that partake in hunting, grew up hunting, enjoy that resource, but also those of us that that depend on a viable deer resource for our livelihood.
You mentioned landowner engagement, and I suppose this is not just something that's turned over to medical people or wildlife professionals. It's something that really all landowners need to be aware of and engaged in. How do you engage as a landowner?
Well, I guess just a little bit of background on the coalition. In 2022, we had 7 timber companies and 4 conservation organizations come together to kind of the original members of the CWD coalition. And our mission was to create a list of best management practices, or BMPs, that, you know, of course, we're all familiar with in the timber industry, but those that could be shared with landowners that will help mitigate the negative impacts of CWD, help, you know, discover, manage, and again, mitigate those negative impacts that we see from CWD. Back in January, we actually added 3 new members. So now our total membership includes representatives from Forest Investment Associates, Mulpus Woodlands Group, Potlatch Deltic, Rayonier, Resource Management Service, the Westervelt Company, Weyerhaeuser, Larson & McGowan, LLC, Legacy Wildlife Services, Alabama Wildlife Federation, Boone & Crockett Club, Georgia Wildlife Federation, the National Deer Association, and Wildlife Mississippi. So we've got a very extensive list of members that spans over 23 million acres nationwide. So we all came together, kind of came up with some BMPs that kind of closely follow ones developed by the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. And but, you know, private landowners have, you know, some more unique challenges, you know, based on the number of recreational users that they have using their properties every year. So we kind of tweak those to kind of give some flexibility to landowners, but still create beneficial practices on the ground that helps fight the disease.
Okay. Is the association publishing those BMPs, and is this something that we can read and be aware of?
Yes. Yes. They have been finalized, and we can definitely share those with the masses. That's the end goal here. And we
I think we've got a link.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got a link on the page that people can see. All right. Well, thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate that information.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Our next guest is founder and CEO of MapRight, which provides information on property boundaries and ownership information. His name is Steve Roberts. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing?
Tell us about MapRight.
Okay, so MapRight is a web and mobile-based mapping application, and what we're focused on is providing in-depth land identity. And what we mean by that are a deep dive into what are the positives and negatives about a property. And we're also focused on making property mapping simple. So what we want to provide, we have three tiers of plans and pricing. Our most simple is our Discover plan, which is $79.99 right now annually. And it allows you to access all of our parcel information as well as right now 20-plus additional layers, and we're about to add 20 more, and we'll continue to add those. And those are layers like wetlands, floodplains, contour lines, soils, infrared aerials, just to name a few. Then you can scale up into two additional plans, which is a Pro and Pro Unlimited. And the difference between those two plans is the Pro and the Pro Unlimited from Discover allows you to actually create specific maps. And beyond that, it allows you to create sophisticated databases, spatial databases like timber stand maps, or even for a landowner, we can do something like a complex trail map or a hunting blind map. Essentially, what we provide and what we do is we translate what used to be sophisticated GIS processes into layman terms to allow any landowner to make as simple or as complex a map and be able to share that map thematically with family members, with colleagues, with whoever they want. And in the future, what our plan is we want to provide the ability for we actually have a landowner package coming out later this year, in fact, and we want landowners to be able to, we believe that a lot of what they're doing with their property is inherently spatial. So if you're managing a property, if you're making decisions on where to build something or where to invest your money, it's important to understand, you know, where are the best soils on the property, where are the tree types that you're looking for, all sorts of things that can help in making informed decisions to be efficient with your property and to maximize the return on your investment in that property.
Tell us about the future of this type technology. What do you think the future trends are that can apply to landowners or foresters?
Yes. So one thing that I've seen specific to forest-related properties is the ability for professionals to fly their own aerials and to create those. And that becomes, in my experience, we have most of the folks that are real estate professionals, appraisers across the U.S. that are dealing with large properties. They use MapRite, and the folks that are dealing in forestry, these are the folks that I see the most that need really up-to-date aerials because they'll have a stand cut, and that's not going to show up on a commercially available aerial for quite a while, potentially, like a Google or Mapbox or Hexagon. And so one of the trends that I believe that you'll see more and more is the ability for the landowner or the forestry professional to use a drone and fly their own aerials that day. That'll be more high res than what Google or any of those others offer. And we actually already in MapRite have the ability to host those aerials. So that is doable right now. It's just rather technical to do, but I'm a firm believer that as time moves along, that's one element that I think will be very helpful to foresters and landowners in forestry is the ability to collect your own high-res aerial that day and then to place it on your MapRite map.
Okay, well, that's good to see what's potentially around the corner. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate that very much. I think we all know that deducting expenses on your tax return is a good idea, but sometimes these expenses have to be deducted over time. But deducting it faster can be even better. Orman Wilson can explain this phenomena. Welcome back, Orman.
Thanks, Hayes.
I'm hearing about bonus depreciation. What's that?
Okay, bonus depreciation is a technique that's designed to help stimulate the economy. And what it allows is for a timberland owner to actually buy equipment for their operations, and instead of depreciating it over a five-year or seven-year period, you get to go ahead and deduct the full cost in the year that you purchase it.
Okay. Now, how would a timberland owner, for example, use this bonus depreciation?
Okay, let's say you own 300 acres and you need to buy a tractor, and let's say the tractor is, you know, $30,000. Instead of having to depreciate it over 5 years, you go ahead and deduct the full $30,000. Now, let me say, if you bought it in 22, the bonus depreciation is being phased out. So last year, it was 100% bonus depreciation. Anything you buy in 2023 will be subject to 80% bonus, and then it goes down 20% each year until it phases out in 2026.
Okay. All right. So it depends on what year you're in and how much the bonus depreciation applies. What kind of equipment? You mentioned equipment. What kind of equipment would apply to something like this?
Okay. I've seen timberland owners buy a pickup. You can get a tractor. You can buy a trailer that you can pull the tractor with. You know, you may have so many acres you need an ATV that you can actually ride over your property to check fence lines, beetle damage, whatever. You could even build a storage shed for this equipment that you bought.
Okay, so it's a capital, you know, items rather than, you know, expenses for services and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, expenses for services are all, you know, they're deductible anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these are all capital expenditures.
All right. Well, thanks, Orman. We appreciate you giving us this tip, and we'll look forward to using that on occasion. We thank you very much for coming.
All right. Thank you for having me again.
Well, that's all the time we have for this issue. Our thanks go to John Stivers, Jeremy Mears, Steve Roberts, and Orman Wilson. It's been interesting to see how emerging markets develop around timberland, things like cell towers, solar farms, and carbon sequestration. And many times these new markets have new ways of pricing their products. So it's helpful to be familiar with what's called a reverse auction. First, a traditional auction has one seller up front facing many buyers who can hear each other in the bid. One buyer bids $10, the next responds with $20, and the price goes upward. In a reverse auction, it's the single buyer up front facing multiple sellers. Each seller specifies a price, say $20, and the seller next to him, who wants to sell too, responds with $19, and the price goes downward. That's a reverse auction. Now, put each seller in a room where he can't hear the other sellers, and you have a reverse blind auction. Now, each seller has to anticipate how low the other sellers will bid, driving prices even lower. These type exchanges are now even reaching the traditional timber markets, exactly the opposite of a traditional bid sale for timber. So be aware of a reverse auction. Be able to recognize it and understand it if you're being invited to price your product in this type market. On behalf of the Alabama Forest Owners Association, I'm Hayes Brown. Thank you for joining us for this issue of Capital Ideas Live.